Welcome to the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio. We've got a fast-paced hour of fishing, hunting, and conservation covering the nation and the Northwest, including 13 extra minutes of local content you'll only hear on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
I don't know about you, but November has been a lot of fun so far. It's included goose hunting, duck hunting, and steelhead fishing. I was hunting in the Columbia Basin about 10 days ago. And on our first day, we saw some geese, but didn't get any in range. The next morning, we splashed two mallards into the decoys in short order and missed a few more before the morning flight shut off around 8:30 a.m. What a difference a few days make, though. My hunting buddy, Rusty Johnston, went out again this past Monday with a friend to the same place we hunted, and he bagged a limit of ducks, almost all of them mallards, in 30 minutes. That's right, the Northerns, they are arriving. In other news, we'll be talking to Kyle Jones with Jones Sport Fishing at the bottom of the hour. I enjoyed a great trip with him a week ago, and he'll let you know whether our day was a fluke or whether we are getting into prime time on Idaho's Clearwater River for Jurassic-sized steelhead. As you may recall, one of the potential recommendations that may be made to Governor Jay Inslee to save our orca whales in Puget Sound is to breach the lower Snake River dams between the Tri-Cities and Clarkston. In the long run, a move like that would definitely help salmon numbers, but there's another side to that coin that includes the economic impacts to cities like Clarkston, Washington, and Lewiston, Idaho. Michelle Peters, the president of Visit Lewis and Clark Valley, will join us at the end of our program to tell you what breaching the dams might look like for her communities. Before we head up the Snake and Clearwater Rivers, though, it's time to tell you, as we do every week, what's hot and what's not. Brought to you by your Puget Sound area Sportsman's Warehouse stores in Everett, Federal Way, Silverdale, and Puyallup, where there are going to be some awesome deals waiting for you on Black Friday at all of these stores and online as well at sportsmanswarehouse.com. One thing that's really hot is chum salmon fishing at Hood's Port and Hood Canal. I don't know if this is a typo. I don't think it is. Creel Checkers found 133 anglers with 300, that's right, 300 hard-tugging, mean-looking chum salmon that were caught on Veterans Day. That is some off-the-charts fishing there, I'll tell you what. As for the rest of Puget Sound, anglers out of Point Defiance were picking up decent numbers of blackmouth in the South Sound on the 9th and on Veterans Day, averaging up to two fish for every three anglers. But everyone checked on Saturday the 10th, they were skunked. So it's kind of hit and miss. Heading to the Columbia Basin, Annie Meesberg with Mardon Resort reports walleye fishing is fair to good on Potholes Reservoir, and largemouth bass, they are hitting deep diving crankbaits off the face of O'Sullivan Dam at the south end of this big lake. If you're looking for a place to stay, whether you're fishing or hunting in this area, check out MardonResort.com or MosesLake360.com. Finally, let's talk about Black Friday, and I'm not talking about the great deals at your Puget Sound area Sportsman's Warehouse stores. I'm talking about the lakes being stocked by WDFW with trout averaging 15 to 16 inches and weighing up to 3 pounds in size. These stocked lakes include Crest Lake in Cowlitz County, Fort Borst Park Pond in South Lewis County Park Pond in Lewis County, American in Tanwax Lake in Pierce County, Black, Long, and Offutt Lakes in Thurston County, and Cases Pond in Pacific County. So, skip the crowds at the stores the day after Thanksgiving, pack yourself a turkey sandwich or two, and head out to one of these lakes to go fishing. There you go. Now you know what's hot right here in the Pacific Northwest.
That's your first local shot of the outdoors. Now let's see what's going on across the nation.
NorthwestFishingReports.com is the Northwest's largest fishing reports website, featuring well over 50,000 fishing reports, videos, articles, and more. All 100% free. Catch more fish with Northwest Fishing Reports. Log on today.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Ready for more local fishing and hunting? You got it. It's the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
We're checking in with Kyle Jones, the owner of Jones Sports Fishing, and we're actually fishing on the Clearwater River near Orofino, Idaho right now. Kyle, it's been a fun day on the water.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we've got three steelhead to the boat already. The biggest one, 16 pounds. The smallest, about 12 pounds. So this has been awesome. How good has it been lately? How many fish on average are you bringing to the boat every day?
We've had some pretty good fishing over the last couple weeks. We're averaging somewhere between 4 and 8 a day. And that's been a real consistent number for us.
How are you doing it? What are the main methods you're using this time of year, November, December timeframe, to get these fish to the boat?
We're either A, side drifting, or B, pulling plugs and divers and bait.
I know there's bank anglers I've seen too. Some of them got fly rods, some of them spin rods. What are they doing?
The guys fly fishing are swinging flies predominantly. I mean, it's a major area destination for guys to come swing flies. And then the rest of the bank guys, the gear guys, are fishing with bobbers and jigs for the most part.
The Clearwater's a pretty big-sized river. There's boats and anglers all the way from Clarkston up to Orofino. What are the hot spots right now?
It's kind of spread. Right now, you'll see a lot of guys fishing right at Lewiston. That's a pretty good area. And then you'll also see a lot of guys right at Orofino. Those are two of the probably main hot spots. There's a lot of water in between, and there's even a lot of water above Orofino that's drift boat only that has fish in it. So fish are real spread out.
Limit is one hatchery fish a day, but again, you can catch and release as many fish as you want, can't you?
Yeah, we don't have a mandatory kill rule or anything, so yeah, as long as you don't harvest one, you can continue to fish.
Last but not least, do you have openings for the rest of November and into December for this, what is clearly a fantastic fishery here on the Clearwater River for big steelhead?
Yes, we actually have quite a few openings from in the back half of November and then all the way through December. December's fairly wide open month for us. People stop traveling a whole lot because of the holidays, but the fishing is really good, and we have a lot of open days.
One other thing we need to talk about here, and I think some of our listeners in the Western Washington area may not be aware of it, the strain of steelhead you have here, very special strain. These are the Clearwater Snake River B-Run steelhead. What's the biggest you get on average every year?
Our fish average 12 to 14 pounds, and we see a few in the 20-pound class every single year.
20-pound steelhead, folks, that is the stuff that legends are made of. If you want to crack at one, go to jonessportfishing.com. That's jonessportfishing.com. Make plans now to come to the Clearwater and go fishing with Kyle. You're going to have a great time just like we are today. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
Don't leave yet. We've got one more local shot of fishing and hunting to wrap up the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio.
Next up on the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio, you may have heard that one of the options on the table to save our southern resident orca whales is to breach the four dams on the lower Snake River. Well, I was wondering about the impact of this, especially from an economic point of view, and so I thought we'd check in with Michelle Peters. She's the president of Visit Lewis-Clark Valley that's headquartered in the Lewiston-Clarkston area, and I understand a lot of your tourism and the economy depends on these dams.
It really does. We are a port city, so we have 7 different cruise boats that are coming here with 4 different companies. So we're hosting over 21,000 visitors a year coming on the Columbia and Snake River system to Lewiston, Idaho.
And when these people come here, they are going to restaurants, they're staying in hotels, they're going on excursions into Hell's Canyon with the local companies, they're going fishing, so they're spending a lot of money in this community, aren't they?
They really are. It's really a ripple effect throughout the community, different economic drivers. You just think about an oil company, how much fuel? It's $1 million worth of fuel for one vessel.
So here's the question. If the dams are breached, can these cruise ships get up here?
No, they will no longer be able to make it all the way to our seaport city, 465 miles inland.
That's coming upstream. Let's talk about going downstream, because you have a lot of businesses that depend on barging to get their goods to where they need to go. What's going to happen if the dams are breached? Obviously, the barges aren't going to be able to go anymore, are they?
No, that will be detrimental to our economy, especially with the farmers, the regional farmers, and the prices of wheat and everything else will go up. It's such a clean way to transport mass products down the river.
Not only that, you've got a lot of lumber and pulp mills around here. A lot of that is transported downstream in barges too, isn't it?
It is. It all goes down the river instead of using a lot of freight trucks or trains.
If the dams are breached, would you see some of these farmers, some of these businesses going out of business because of the higher cost to operate?
I think it definitely would impact them. And also the bottom line for us as consumers, prices will be increased as well.
There's a lot more to discuss. And one other thing to think about here is we want to return fish numbers, but hatcheries operate along this river to mitigate the dams. If the dams are gone, are the hatcheries going to operate? Just one more thing to think about when we're talking about breaching dams on the Lower Snake River. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
That's all for this week, but don't worry. We'll do it all again next Saturday morning from 7 to 8, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.